Against this invisible loss of purchasing power. Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
September 29, 2007. Who'd have thought it? This is Tom Cryer. We're talking to John in Tennessee, and we are talking about his homework assignment, trying to figure out how the government could maybe govern him and tax him for those activities that it has the right to govern. And John, where we left off, and we're going to get broke off here in a minute too, so we may have to stretch a little bit farther, but you've broken up some subjects that we really do need to kick around a little bit. And one of those that I want to back up to is the issue of who is engaging in interstate commerce. Then I want to come forward to your question on, you know, who were taxes really intended for.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Your company is engaging in interstate commerce, and because they're the ones that are doing the buying and the selling in interstate commerce, your transaction with your employer is one-on-one, and your employment is there where your employer is, right?
Yes.
You may travel, but your employment's still wherever it is that you're employed.
Right.
Your employer in Tennessee?
It is.
All right, so you're in Tennessee. That doesn't sound interstate to me.
Well, I do. On occasion, I go to Alabama, Kentucky, or surrounding states to make a few deliveries, but I'm home every night. I mean, I'm not.
Is it your truck?
No, it's their truck.
Is it your load?
It's nothing is mine except my labor.
And you don't get to send a bill to the shipper either, do you?
No, I don't.
All right, so you're not really doing that. They are. Now, the other question. Concerning what taxes were intended for, Congress, first power that Congress has really granted is the power to tax. And there were three kinds of taxes, duties, imposts, and excises, that they were told that they could levy. Now, duties and imposts have to do with, just as you pointed out, foreign commerce, you know, imports, foreign commerce, trade.
Mm-hmm.
Then have the power to excise has been determined to issue domestic privileged taxes. In other words, taxes on privileged activities. By privileged, they don't mean that, oh, I'm privileged to do this. What they mean by this is I'm doing this not because I have a right to, but because somebody allows me to. That's what they mean when they say privileged activities. An activity that you've been given a privilege of doing, given a permission to do.
Right.
And that falls in, remember we said it either, to tax it, it has to either exist because the government said it exists, or it has to be permitted or introduced because the government gave its permission.
But see, we all have a right to earn a living.
Yes, you do.
To the point where if I had an employer that was denying me the ability to earn my living, I could take him to court.
Well, then tell me, is that a privileged activity? Is that an activity that requires somebody's permission?
Well, we'll see, we're on both sides of the fence now because I have to be licensed to do it.
Well,
pay an astronomical fee to do it. So
yeah, well, we're going to talk about
licensing
here in just a minute, too. But hang on again. I hate to drag you, John, but you've got some stuff that we really need to talk about here on the Live Free Zone.
Do you know what you can go with solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Welcome back to Live Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer. We're talking about interstate commerce, and we're talking about licensing, permission, with John from Tennessee, who is a truck driver. And, John, you just brought up the fact that you have to have certain licenses in order to engage in your occupation. What licenses are you required to have?
Well, I've got to have a commercial driver's license.
From?
From the state of Tennessee, which is a national license, basically. Plus, I have to have a hazardous materials endorsement because I haul gasoline.
Then who do you get that endorsement from?
I get that from the state after a test.
Okay.
And then I have to have a $90 background check from Homeland Security and the FBI. So my license is $156.50 every 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
And it's a license without which I can't drive legally and do what I need to do. So I guess my right is a privilege. It's an oxymoron, isn't it?
Well, let's see. Is it a privilege, though, with respect to the federal government? Do you have a license from the federal government?
This hazardous materials commercial driver's license.
Yeah, but it's issued by who?
It's issued by the state of Tennessee.
Okay. Now, you know the state of Tennessee is a completely different sovereignty from
sure.
the federal government.
Or it's supposed to be, yes.
Yes. It's not a political subdivision of the federal government. It's a sovereign state. All right. Now, go back to the Constitution again, and you won't find the licensing of, carriage operators or anything any kind of occupation.
Well, not just that. If you go to the specific, whatever state you live in, if you look at your state constitution, most of them will tell you that you have a right to travel the highways.
That's right. The question, though, is that most of those are conditioned on your demonstrating an ability to do so safely.
Right.
Now, but then go all the way back to the 10th Amendment. Okay? We're going to jump over to the 10th Amendment. And what did the 10th Amendment do? The 10th Amendment said that any powers of government or any rights that are not given to the federal government are reserved to the states and the people.
Right.
All right. Now, there are certain occupations that don't necessarily require permission so much as it is that they require a demonstration of competence or a demonstration that you can engage in an occupation without injuring the public or providing an unreasonable risk. Let's take our two occupations. I'm an attorney, and you are a truck driver. Let's trade. Let's for a week, you come over here, and you try a case, and you go in and try one of my clients, conduct a trial for one of my clients. And for that during that week, I'll go operate your rig.
Mm-hmm.
I would be willing to bet you $10 to a donut that before the week was out, somebody was going to get hurt.
Probably both parties. One would be in jail and one would be in the hospital.
Right. That's right. And so, or worse. And so there are certain occupations that would, if somebody wasn't qualified to perform those services, would present a hazard to the public. And the state, under its police power, has a right to protect against hazard. But if you go in there and you pass the test and you clear the background check and you pass the test for hazmat, what say do they have over, and you put the money down, they have to give you your license, don't they?
Well, I tell you, Tommy, it's changed a lot, because this time they wanted me, after 30 years of doing this, they wanted me to prove that I was born in the United States.
Oh, really?
They wanted a birth certificate, which I refused and made them give it to me anyway.
Well, but suppose you'd given them the birth certificate. They've
got to do their part.
Right, but suppose that you did that, they would have to give you the license.
This is true.
Though, it's not a discretionary permission. It's just that in order to do that occupation, you have to prove that you're capable of doing that without presenting an unreasonable hazard of harm to people around you.
But see, that's something that's new, Tommy. You know, one of my favorite, the way that I look at things is I say, well, let's see, who taught the teacher? Who was the first one that did this without a license, without an education, training?
And I'm a pilot, too.
And I know how
that evolved,
Right. And I'm as smart as the next guy when it comes to certain things. I mean, who are you to tell me what I need to know? If you know so much about my job, you go do it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how to explain the frustration, Tommy.
I can make an argument for exactly what you're talking about. I can understand what you're talking about. And there are those who, say, well, we ought to be free to do whatever we want to do, and I'm one of them. But there are exceptions, and just like truck driving, it could be hazardous. If I were to get out there with a rig, I'd have no business doing that.
Well, before we run out of time, let me please talk to my friend in Massachusetts. I am absolutely sympathetic with his blindness and whatnot. But let's remember people like Helen Keller, who were deaf, dumb, and mute, or deaf, dumb, and blind, and still made a tremendous impact. And they weren't, Social Security didn't exist. When Helen Keller was a young girl, people made sure that she had what she needed.
That's a good example.
People that fall through the cracks. What was his name? I can't recall. Ron?
His name was Joe.
Okay, Joe.
Nice fellow. You make a valid point that, it's not what you don't have. It's what you do with what you do have.
And if you were to win your fight and people would realize that this income tax is nothing more – and legalize slavery. Let the American public think that they're free. We're going to have their money in the end anyway. If you were to win your fight and the tax laws were abolished, and they let people like me and you and other good Christian folks keep their money and give it to the church and take care of the lame and the blind and whatnot the way that it's intended to be, we're not intended to be on the mercy of the government. We're intended to be, if we need mercy, let's get it from our friends
other.
And our family and our neighbors and our churches. That's where it's supposed to come from.
Yeah.
And that's why we're in the problems that we're in this country.
Well, that's where it has to come from in a free society, because if we're depending on somebody else for those things, then we're dependent. We're not free.
Absolutely.
But,
and if there's a need, you know, I don't need someone to tell me that my neighbors need a bag full of groceries. If they need groceries, I'll see that they eat. If there's a person walking down the street and they're not in my face, give me money so I can eat. And I know you're hungry. Here's my lunch. Here, let me take you and buy you a huge corned beef sandwich. You know, I don't want you to be hungry because of something that you can't control.
Yeah.
But don't come to me and tell me that you deserve it. And I really want to say this with all the love I have for the man in Massachusetts. But he kept asking, what about my benefits? What about my benefits?
Well, that's
well, Joe, your benefit.
We've been addicted to those.
And Joe, with all the love I can muster, your benefits should be from your family, your friends, your church. Expect it more from them than from your government, and you'll be farther ahead, and your life will change dramatically, my friend.
The living, you know, on benefits is a trap. It's a guilty
cage. It's exactly where they want you to be.
And that's exactly where they want all of us
to be. Right, and you don't have to be blind or crippled.
For just a second before I have to turn you loose here, because we've got a break coming up here in just a couple of minutes.
All right.
About what taxes were intended to cover. They were intended to cover activities here in the United States, but only privileged ones. And those activities, who has the last word in deciding whether we're going to do them? You know, you haul gasoline. Everybody pays a federal gasoline tax. Everybody that drives. Everybody that has to buy a gallon of gas has to pay a federal gasoline tax. If they're on tires, you buy tires, or your company does. Those taxes on those tires go to the federal government.
But that's an apportioned tax.
Well, it's an excise tax, just like an income tax is. And an income tax isn't on your income. That would be a property tax. The income tax is on what you do to get your gross receipts.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can derive income from that, then fine. Now, your company derives income from your labor, but you don't. But
all I get is a wage.
But I pay tobacco tax. Okay? I'm one of those nasty guys that's hooked on cigarettes. Right? But it's my choice to pay those or not to. I don't have to pay them. I can stop smoking. I can grow my own tobacco. You know, I don't have to buy tobacco, and I can make that choice. So I get the last word, and that's the way that federal taxation is supposed to work, where we have the last word on whether we incur the tax. Now, if they come down and say, you're going to pay the tax whether you incur it or not, that's not a federal tax. You know, that's not.
Mm-hmm.
That's a direct tax, and they have to give that bill to the state. But, yeah, it's not just limited to corporations and foreign commerce. So those are certainly subjects of taxation, but there are others. But they've got plenty of things to tax without taxing labor and other things that they're not allowed to tax.
Well, Tommy, why is it that a corporation can, like I used the example earlier, when you're projecting an $80 million profit and you earn $40, they can call that a loss. But if
well,
I'm
that's
projecting...
I don't think that's exactly what they...
Well, they can they tell me that when you know, I hear that in contract negotiations.
Yeah.
Well, we lost money last year. Well, how much did you make? Well, we made 40. We were planning on 80.
Well,
and yet each year I can earn more money. When I started doing this 30 years ago, I made 27,000.
We're pushed into a break here that I can't.
All right, well, I'm going to let you go.
Just leave that with figures lie and liars figure. And that's the way those go. And we'll be back here in just a minute on the Live Free Zone.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Welcome back to the My Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer. We've been talking a little bit about your homework assignment. We need to find out, I mean, how is the government got the authority to regulate and therefore to tax your activities, what you do for a living? Can you figure that out, dig it out? Tell me how the federal government can tax what you do to make a living. Aside from the fact that you're exercising a fundamental right, and therefore they can't tax that, but from their standpoint, where is their authority to say, hey, your activities are regulated and governed by me, and therefore I have the authority to tax your engaging in that activity? That's the $64,000 question on what the government can and what the government cannot tax. So, you know, that gives you your answer. Even if you have income, even if you have income that can be derived from your gross receipts, what authority does the federal government have to tax that activity? And you guys have had 3 weeks now to cipher on this, as Jethro Bodine would say. So, you know, no excuses for a late homework. You had extra time due to my being out of town and due to the big news from last week's trial. But call us and let's chew on it. Let's see if we can find a way for the federal government to get into your pocket. It's a neat challenge. You can call us here at 1-800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Or if you have a comment or question, same number, 800-313-9443. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the impact of the income tax on the federal government, and I want to talk about that from both perspectives, with and without, just for a second. Just indulge me for a few minutes here. What has happened with the tax on labor that's being applied to activities that the government has no right to tax is that it has tapped into the wealth of the middle class of working America. It has tapped into the mainstream of the real aorta of our bloodstream. They have hit the mother load, so to speak. And this has doubled, or at least increased by a huge percent, the number or the amount of resources that the federal government has and under its control. This has allowed the federal government to create fund agencies that it was never intended to have. There's nothing in the Constitution whatsoever that allows the federal government to control and govern education, yet we have a Department of Education. There is nothing in the Constitution whatsoever that allows the federal government to govern and to control labor, yet we have a Department of Labor. There is nothing in the Constitution that allows the government, the federal government, to have control over agriculture. And yet we have a Department of Agriculture. So what, you know, where did all of these agencies come from? Why is it that all of a sudden this federal government has been allowed during the 20th century to just blow up like a blimp? And the problem that people don't understand, perhaps, maybe they do, or maybe they just haven't looked, but whenever somebody acquires authority or acquires control, it's at the expense of somebody else. Everything is controlled. Everything that we do, everything we say is controlled. But the more I can control what you do, the less control you have over what you do. We can't both do the same controlling. So all of these agencies, all of this authority, all of these controls, restraints, and strings that the federal government has stretched out into the states that it never was intended to have, are at the expense of your self-determination in your state. Now, the first thing that somebody says is, yeah, but things ought to be the same. No, they ought not. How would you like it if every car looked the same? Chevrolets, Fords, Dodges, they all look the same. If they all were made the same, all the same color. No, you wouldn't like that. You want them to compete. You want them to make them look better, make them run better, make them run longer. And that competition is what makes them better. With the federal system, everything is the same. All of the states are the same. Is one state any better than the other? Are they competing? Are they all trying to find a better way to do things? Not only that, but is your education getting better now that the federal government has taken over education? Are we seeing our children learning better and graduating with a better education? That's the effect that the tax has had on us. Now, when we get back, we'll talk about what effect if the tax were not there. What would that be? Back here on the Live Free Zone in just a minute.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
And we're back. The discussion was for on the little tirade that I'm on here is what now if there weren't an income tax on labor? What would happen then? Well, what could happen is that some of these agencies that the federal government has been enabled to impose on us could go away. They could stop happening. And then each state would govern its own, for example, education, its own environmental needs. And each state could then be free to make their own laws according to the people that elected them and what they want their laws to be, instead of having to be bribed and extorted into bowing to the federal government and ignoring their constituents. Wouldn't that be a better state government if your state government was listening to you instead of somebody outside the state to do what needs to be done for the state? Wouldn't your kids have a better education if your state was free to educate on the basis of education instead of on the basis of some federal regulation? If you had 50 states all competing to provide the best schools, instead of all 50 states having school systems from the same cookie cutter, do you think that education would be better off? Absolutely. Same thing with streets. Same thing with any other government services that are supposed to be coming from the state anyway. Do you think that agricultural systems that are competing for farmers and for the commerce that they bring in would be better at helping farmers and supporting good agricultural practices? You bet they would. But when you only have, whenever one government has a monopoly on all of those, there is no competition. And do you think that your state would be able to do better with half of what's being stolen instead of a fraction of it, and provide you with better schools, better roads, better highways, better commerce, and all the jobs, all of the industry that that would attract and require if you were spending the other half? And how would that affect your household? How many times have we all done without something because the federal government has taken our money? What better life could we have for our children and our families if we had the benefit of 100% of our earnings? So everything is that one gets is at the expense of another. Nothing ain't no free lunch. Well, let's go back to the phones. And Rich in Florida, how you doing, Rich?
Pretty good. Can I read the definition of authority?
Yes, sir.
The right or permission to act legally on another's behalf. The power delegated by a principal to an agent. Authority to sign the contract. That's how they do it. It's through contract. They don't actually have...
You were doing real good. But, yeah, it is a social contract, the Constitution is.
No. That's how they do... The tax issue is through contract. Okay? If you go back to the beginning, when George Washington and the boys had their little battle, was at that point in time, was everybody free? Everybody was free and on the same level at that point in time, correct?
That depends on how you define free. You mean free of any government?
They were on the same...
No, they weren't. You had indentured servants, you had slaves, and you had freemen, and you had landowners.
Okay.
There were a whole lot of different statuses.
Well, politically, everybody was free to choose what political...
No, they weren't, because only landowners in many states were permitted to vote.
Okay. Well, anyways, it's through contract.
Well, there is a social contract in the form of the Constitution. It's a three-way bargain, and it does grant authority over certain limited and restricted areas of activities. That authority does give them the authority to act on our behalf, to make rules to govern those activities that we've authorized them to govern. And it's a three-way deal between the federal government that was created by the Constitution and the states who gave up some of their sovereignty to form that federal government, and the people who ratified it. And said, yes, we'll go along with forming this federal government to provide for our national defense and to facilitate interstate commerce and to deal with things outside the boundaries of where the states would run. And that pretty much is it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
But the tax doesn't come as a result of contract.
Well, if you read the Delaware Treaty, the United States, which is a corporation, exists in Washington, D.C.
I don't have my tinfoil hat on, so I'm not protected.
It cannot bring its laws outside of D.C.
No, that's not true.
Read the Delaware Treaty.
The Delaware Treaty had to do with the difficulty between Virginia and Maryland, actually. But the Delaware Treaty is not the Constitution.
No, it's not the Constitution.
Right, now, and it has nothing to do. It has nothing to do
with whether
laws are valid or not
valid. If you want to argue the Constitution, here's one question you can argue with the Constitution. Okay. If the government, the U.S. government, that exists only in the minds of men, and you have a 14th Amendment... And the second clause in that is the involuntary servitude.
The
This was asked in a 1972 tax case. The man asked the question, if the U.S. government existed only in the minds of men and not in nature, and you have a 14th Amendment that says there is no involuntary servitude, show me where I volunteered. His case was dismissed in 1972, and he hasn't paid taxes since then.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's another way of saying the same thing, and that basically I've been telling people, and that is, show me your authority. Show me where you have the authority to tax my activity. Show me where you have jurisdiction. But now the taxing authority doesn't come because somebody said, all right, I'll give you a taxing authority. Your taxing authorization in the Constitution, if you were to say that, would be limited to excise taxes, duties, and imposts, but it isn't.
Right.
The taxing authority of the federal government, which does not exist solely in D.C., and it's not a corporation. The corporation that you're talking about was an incorporation of the District of Columbia as a municipal corporation, and it was a short-lived experiment, was ultimately repealed.
No, that's in Title 18.
Right,
U.S. is a corporation.
Right. But don't eat that, Elmer. Don't eat that, Elmer. And wash your hands. Because what this thing comes down to is that the taxing authority is the authority that is what the Supreme Court years and years and years and years and years ago said is an incident of sovereignty, and that's not just back to then. They didn't invent that. That's been the way it has been from time immemorial, that a sovereignty has the authority to tax. But the authority to tax is limited to the extent of the sovereignty. It only goes as far as a sovereign can reach. If they can't reach you with a governing hand, they can't reach you with their taxing hand. One arm is no longer than the other. And so that's the test. That's the test. But this notion that the United States is only D.C., the United States has two different kinds of jurisdiction. One is territorial and the other one is regulatory. The territorial is not limited to D.C. The territorial under the Constitution includes the territories and possessions and federal enclaves, which are scattered all over the United States. It also extends beyond those borders as far as regulating activities. For example, they have the authority to regulate trade between states, trade with the tribes, trades with foreign nations. Whether you're doing that in a federal enclave or in Washington, D.C. or not.
Interstate commerce.
They also have, under the excise taxing power, they have the right to tax manufacture, sale, and consumption of goods, even if it's a manufacture, sale, or consumption over which they have no regulatory authority. And I hope that helps clear up some stuff, but go back and look at some of that stuff a little bit harder. All of these stories have a grain of truth that they're built up around, just like a pearl starts with a grain of sand. The pearl looks real pretty. But really all it is a grain of sand that just irritated somebody until they covered it up with something better. But go back and do some more study on that, Rich. I think that you'll find that some of the stuff that you've got and been told is correct, and some of the stuff that you've been told is not correct. But go back and look at it from the root. Take it out from the bottom up and look at real authorities for yourself. Don't read any articles that somebody wrote. Read the actual authorities themselves.
No, this is all from, like I say, court cases and in the federal supplement.
Yeah, and a lot of court cases are being misrepresented. You've got a Lucas v. Earl out there, for example, that they say holds that wages are not income. But Lucas v. Earl, that wasn't in the court decision. That was in the arguments. It's in the reports. If you read the case, you'll see it there. But it was in the arguments. Well, look, I appreciate the call.
All right, thanks.
And it gives us an opportunity to examine different ways of looking at things. But go back and look at it again, Rich.
Okay.
Okay?
Bye now.
Thanks. Now, let's let's talk to Mike. We've got a few minutes before we get that last break, so I want to get Mike worked in here from Tennessee. Tennessee's been busy today. Good state.
I was wanting your opinion on something.
I got lots of those.
Okay, that's a good deal. I'm a disabled veteran, 100% disabled.
Uh-huh.
And so I applied for my SSI and got it. You know,
okay.
The judge awarded it to me. And so they have to pay me back pay of 12 months.
Okay.
All right? Now then, a person gets $600 a month, this SSI. So if you add that up, you know, it's pretty good money, right?
Well, I suppose.
$7,200. All right. They are coming back and saying, yes, but, you know, you don't have any money, and so you're living with family and friends, which is what I'm doing. And they're saying since they're paying for my electric bill and food, they call that income. And so they've actually cut it in half. Instead of me getting $600, they want to only pay me $300.
Your tax dollars at work.
And I'm going like, how, you know, this don't make any sense. Why would you get the money if somebody else is paying it? They get the money, you know. Why would SSI get the opportunity to steal money from me?
Now, you're making me, I don't have enough information to have an opinion on that one.
Okay.
But I do have enough information to have a guess.
Okay.
Okay. The guess is, and it's because we do this at law sometimes, the word is impute. That means that we take something that actually belongs to somebody else, and we paint you with it. If, for example, imputed negligence or, you know, imputed fault, what basically you have here is imputed income. You don't have income, but you're being painted with your friends and family's income. In other words, they're taking what benefit of their income you are receiving, and they're attributing it to you. Now, if they were really genuine about saying he had income, then they'd be wanting their cut of it. But I'll give you an example in law here in Louisiana. Whenever a spouse has a roommate, an ex-spouse, you know, has a roommate, and they're receiving alimony, or they're asking for alimony. To the extent that that roommate reduces their living expenses,
right?
They increase her income in determining how much alimony or how much support her spouse should pay her. Or his spouse should pay him. I guess I had a case last year involving a gentleman that sued his wife for alimony. I don't see many of those.
No. Nope.
But it's getting to be a different world. But that's called imputed income. And they know that you're not making any money. They know you're not making that money. But what they're doing is they're charging you with having the benefit of that income to the extent that they are reducing your living expense.
Right. That seems like, to me, that's cheating, you know?
It might be.
You know, and see, the judge awarded me 100% disability, right? So I should be able to get 100% of that money. That agency, it shouldn't be fair at all for them to steal any of it.
Well, now, if you look at the paperwork that you're receiving from them very carefully, okay? And I'm going to be the first one to tell you, I am not an expert by any stretch on administrative law, and certainly not anything to do with Social Security or SSI. I mean, I have to rub into it every now and then, but when I do, I go wash right away.
I bet.
I don't want anything to do with administrative law. You know, administrative law is where the bureaucrats run the show, and the inmates are running the asylum.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's just not, I mean, it's wacky enough, and it's enough of a zoo in the real courts. But you will receive literature when you get determinations and they tell you how to object, how to appeal, how to ask for a reconsideration or whatever your remedy is. In other words, you can continue to pursue, and you've been down that road. If it took a judge to get you your SSI, then you went through an appellate process of some sort.
I did. I had to exhaust. They kept losing my records.
Oh, I tell you, you know, I told you, as the inmates are, the lunatics are taking over the asylum.
I know, and, you know, and so this judge, you know, awarded me this, and so I'm thinking that they're not following their mandate, because their mandate does not say nothing about them deciding whether I've got income or not.
Yeah.
They're just supposed to spend the money.
Well, their mandate's supposed to be to serve the disabled.
Right,
and
can I get happening. Them on that?
Well, you can tell by that music that we're coming in on to a break, but it's been, I enjoyed the call. I wish I just had better answers for you, Mike.
I understand. I to give you something.
Well, God bless you, and thank you for your service to your country.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
We're back and we're about to wrap it up here. We've got during the break, though, I got pulsed with a question, and that is, what's the difference between law and administrative law? And administrative law basically is anything having to do with any of the executive branch agencies. If you're involved inside a bureaucracy, you are in administrative law, whether it's the IRS or the Social Security Administration or the Veteran Affairs or, you know, whatever. No matter what, if you are part of the executive department. You're dealing with them. You're dealing with administrative law. Those are primarily regulations rather than statutes, although the regulations are evolved and developed from statutes and are authorized by statutes. On the other hand, you have then the court proceedings, which are with the judiciary, and that's whatever you're dealing with, an actual court. You have administrative, quote, courts, unquote, which aren't really courts. They're more like arbiters, moderators, what have you. These, you know, they're not part of the judicial branch of the government. And I hope that maybe clarifies a little bit. I rushed through that because I want to get to Mitchell in Texas before we close the show out here in just a couple of minutes. Hey, Mitchell.
Hey, Tom. Thank you very much for what you do. Real quick, I have actually a couple questions, but I'll get to the one quickest to answer here.
Yeah, because we only got a couple of minutes.
You were talking about the 56% of what the federal government spends is not really constitutional, and sort of tailing on to that and weaving it into what your subsequent discussion was, how much of what they actually spend is coming from the income tax?
I have heard different estimates, but they generally run in the neighborhood of one-third, which would be 33% of the budget.
Okay, so
if they were to lose 33%, but get rid of 56% of the expenditures, they would still be money ahead.
Okay, great, and thank you for that. Sort of ties everything together because it without that being answered, you're sort of left like, oh well, what impact would it have then?
Yeah, you're right. And I'm glad you called that gap to our attention because that's the income tax doesn't pay for everything that they do to excess. But they couldn't do nearly what they do to us if they had, you know, if they had to get back on their 1,500 calorie diet.
Right.
Their taxing authority gives them all they need. I mean, that for years and years. I mean, for 130 years, we worked just fine. We even had wars, and we did fine without having to resort to tapping into labor. You know. And that's part of the thing about the labor thing. When you stop and look at it, the gentleman before, Mike mentioned that the 14th Amendment, and I think he was really referring to the 13th on voluntary servitude. And that, if they can tell you that they're allowed to take 25%, what they're really telling you is that they're going to permit you to keep 75%. If I can decide how much of your earnings you're allowed to keep, who really owns those earnings?
I'm completely on board with you.
You know, I own them, and I'm letting you keep 75 by not taking more than 25.
Right, and sort of going back to the whole concept of the Constitution and our laws as free men or what's derived from, you know, what the Creator gives us and all that, all those elements of it, we're really not free men if we're working for the government.
That's right.
And then my second question, which may be a little bit longer, but maybe for another day, is I know your case was partly one based on, you know, saying, okay, does the law tell us what income is? Why do we have to go further than the Constitution, which says no direct taxes?
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good question because we have the 16th Amendment that makes that, was supposed to clarify, but it actually made it a little fuzzy. But the Supreme Court fixed that. But we'll pick up on that at the next program. All right? Thanks for the call, Mitchell. And look forward to seeing everybody back here same time next week.
It's true.